Have you heard of the Choral Scholars of University College Dublin? Well, they are an internationally recognized chamber choir, and they're filled with gifted students. Most of them are not actually music majors, but incredibly talented singers. The ensemble is celebrating its 20th anniversary, and they're heading to Carnegie Hall to celebrate this week. Well, their second release is called Perpetual Twilight. I think you're really going to enjoy it. Artistic director Desmond Early tells us a lot more about each piece, the singers, and the wonderful arrangements of some of these new as well as these traditional pieces. This is New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julie Abacher. Enjoy. I'm talking with the artistic director of the Choral Scholars of University College Dublin, Desmond Early. This is an internationally acclaimed chamber choir filled with gifted student singers. And what's really exciting is you're all celebrating your 20th anniversary this season. Welcome, Desmond.
Thank you so much, Julie. It's a pleasure and an honor to be talking to you again.
So how are you celebrating your 20th anniversary? I think you might be making a trip to New York City, is that right?
Yes, it's amazing. We're going to sing in Carnegie Hall. I mean, it's every musician's dream to be at that sacred space for musicians, isn't it, really? So on the March 15th, 2019, this year, we will be performing a program of Irish music, naturally, and a couple of Scottish tunes in there, of course, in a program called Imagine Ireland, Songs of Home at Zankel Hall. At Carnegie Hall.
Oh, it sounds heavenly. And will you be highlighting music from the new recording, which is also part of your 20th anniversary celebration?
Yes, the disc Perpetual Twilight, our latest disc on the Signum Classics label, which was released on the 1st of March, that will feature heavily in the programme. Songs like Dulamon, My Love is Like a Red, Red Rose, the famous Scottish song, The Maid of Coolmore, and others.
Let's talk a little bit about the title of this recording and what it really means. It is a reflection of the Irish landscape. Would you explain that a little bit more, please?
Yes. Just as song and storytelling is very important to the Irish cultural psyche, the light that we experience this far north is really special, especially in wintertime when the light has a sort of a slanting character. It sort of dances across the land, and we experience that sort of half light, that magical half light that William Butler Yeats talked about, but also things of the night and, you know, experiences of darkness, both, you know, physical experience of darkness, but also metaphorical. The title itself comes from actually a text by Galileo Galilei. This particular piece was commissioned by All Classical Portland, and I have to thank Robert McBride for this idea because he came up with it. Should we have, he said, a piece that will be played during the progress of the total solar eclipse in August 2017? And I was lucky enough to be chosen and invited to compose something. So I went off on a hunt to find a text, and that was the most difficult thing, actually. So I went back to Italian sources of Galileo Galilei and found a beautiful Italian text, Vedere il corpo della luna. Behold the body of the moon. Siamo unite da legami invisibili. We are united by invisible bonds. And that was the sort of starting point of that piece of music, that talking about that perpetual twilight, perpetuo crepuscolo. And so from that Italian language, then we wanted to have the experience of the onlooker in the Oregon countryside looking up at the phenomenon of the total eclipse, and some text then was added in English, and the scoring of violoncello, bass drum, choir and solo pop vocalist really, I think, captured something special at that time.
Would you please describe the role of the cello and the drum and the choir in the piece? Because each has a very specific role.
For me, the cello is the soul. It's the moon itself. And I think that, you know, no instrument captures this vastness of outer space as the bass drum does. And so I use the bass drum to sort of have that echoing, empty, endless sound that just brings to mind the vastness of outer space. The choir then is all collective people experiencing the phenomenon of the eclipse, and then the solo vocal is the personal response of one potential viewer of the phenomenon and how they're feeling at that moment.
So is the length of the piece the exact length that the solar eclipse was? Because it's the longest piece on the recording, and I thought, oh, that must be why.
It's something to do with it, certainly. It took about 8 minutes for the eclipse to really go from 0 to 100% and back again. So we were trying to cover a particular length of time, certainly with the length of the composition, and 7 minutes 50 seconds is what we came down at.
There are several Irish poets represented on this recording, including James Joyce, who happens to be an alum of University College Dublin, and he was a pretty good singer too. Tell me a little bit about how his relationship to the college became interwoven into this recording and the 20th anniversary celebration.
Well, we're very proud that James Joyce is a graduate of University College Dublin. And of course, he's considered one of the fathers of modern literature, and he has a real sense of creativity to his writing. He pushed the boundaries, of course, with Finnegan's Wake, and everybody knows Ulysses. But he also was a poet, and he wrote a collection of poems called Chamber Music. Which he wanted, I suppose, to be set to music. And he even expressed the hope to his brother that somebody would set the poems. Someone that knows old English music as I like is what he wrote. So we wanted to mark that relationship, but also point to the fact that Joyce was an accomplished tenor singer. He won a bronze medal for solo singing in 1904 at the Dublin Fesh Ciol competition. And a review in one of the papers in Dublin says that Mr. Joyce showed himself possessed of the finest quality voice of any of those competing. So it's quite interesting to think of Joyce knowing about and understanding music from the inside. And I suppose if you've read Joyce, you know that sometimes it has to be read aloud so that you can hear the music of the poetry. And James Joyce, because his wish was someone that knows old English music as I like, we asked an English composer, Colin Mawby, to set two of these poems, Strings in the Earth and Air and Bright Cap and Streamers. He set them for clarinet in one case and clarinet and harp plus choir. And I think he did a really superb job. The other Joyce poem that was set for us was set by an American composer, Timothy Stevens, who lives in Oregon. Very talented composer and just one that has an understanding of melody in the choral context, like some of the most famous choral composers from the West Coast tradition of the United States. And we're absolutely delighted with the piece, and we'll be performing that, of course, at Carnegie Hall, and I think the composer is going to join us there. The final text by James Joyce comes from Ulysses, chapter 14, Oxen of the Sun, and is set by Owen Desmond. And here Owen chose a text that portrays childbirth as a sort of a mysterious and the mystical. And the beginning of that piece, there's a fanfare of the solo horn. And then a chanting. Deshil Hollis Eamus. And of course, Deshil means in Irish to turn to the left. So the doctors are sort of chanting and turning to the left, not unlike Shakespearean depictions of three witches, I suppose. Hollis refers to Hollis Street, which is the street on which the famous maternity hospital sits in Dublin, Hollis Street Maternity Hospital. And then Eamus, Latin, we will go. So clockwise we will go is the meaning of that. While we wait for the mother to give birth, we will proceed in a circle.
Yeah, that's the easy job, isn't it? Proceeding in a circle. What role does the French horn play? Because it's so powerful in that piece.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it really anchors the entire piece. What we like to do with our compositions and our commissions is to invite composers to experience the timbres of different instruments and connect them in with the choir. And I think it really has worked quite well for us because we have a different kind of colour in the sound, and it gives a certain aspect of freshness to each piece, and it, I think, influences the direction of the piece as well. So you have with the horn the classic kind of long notes, fanfare idioms, and then the very interesting movement in the middle of that piece, particularly where he moves the horn at a sort of a semi-quaver, or Americans say 16th notes, but fast notes, and it's really agile and articulate. And I have to commend the musician involved. It's Cormac O'Haydon, who was a London-based musician but now is principal horn of the RTE Concert Orchestra, and he did a fantastic job. So, yes, we have had a number of pieces that have been written for choir and obbligato instrument, and I think we started with that experiment on the first disc, Invisible Stars, with Ivo Antonini's music and the composition of pieces for oboe and choir, and we're very happy that we have continued that tradition.
I have to say that the added instrumentation is one of the things that really sets this recording apart, and I think too that when I saw the title Perpetual Twilight, before listening to anything, I thought to myself, oh, this is going to be a really quiet record. And it wasn't at all. I mean, things must get pretty rowdy there sometimes at twilight. And the music really, it's just so vibrant in many places where I would expect it to be maybe quieter.
Well, we like to dance in Ireland, and most of our instrumental music is all about dancing, and from the tradition of the Gael. So the Irish traditional music is composed mainly of dance tunes and slow airs. So dancing as well as singing is very important to the Irish culture and the Irish cultural psyche. So we like to have fun, as everybody knows, particularly around St. Patrick's Day. But the reason why I chose the disc in the order that the music appears is because there's more of a layer of moving from work, play and love's delight into life's more thoughtful and almost sad moments in the centre of the disc, and then back out again, the resurrection, into joy, into the spring, into the joy of bright cap and streamers and so on, and hope at the end of the disc. So there is perpetual twilight throughout, but it gets darker as it goes into the centre of the repertoire and then comes back out the other side. And so there's My Love Is Like a Red, Red Rose at the beginning. And then Bright Cap and Streamers at the end. And then, of course, pieces like Elegy and Danny Boy in the middle of the disc.
Let's talk a little bit about that piece titled Elegy, because it is a very heartbreaking piece, yet it is filled with hope. Would you tell us that story, please?
Well, sorry, it's just a bit emotional, the piece itself. It's a piece written by Frank McGuinness, a poem written by Frank McGuinness, who is from Donegal. And a number of years ago, five members of a family died when their car slipped into the Atlantic waters of the loch at Buncrana in County Donegal. Frank, of course, knew family members and extended family members and was really touched by this experience, as were so many of us here in Ireland. And he echoed the tragedy of that through his text by indirectly referring to Psalm 137, "By the rivers of Buncrana I sat, I did sit and weep." And of course, Bill has written and set Frank's work before, and he was really very moved by this, and he set his poem in a sensitive way, allowing, I hope, the listener to experience the anguish and questioning of the sadness of the tragedy here. But there is hope, and one can hear that in the repetition of the text, "Fetch me," in the middle of the piece. An angelic solo soprano appears to evoke hope, and I think to evoke salvation. So, you know, "Fetch me the drowning chariot, waves ebb and recede. Fetch me the sun and shadow, the Atlantic Ocean, the living and the dead, saving the dying. Fetch me the heart that's dying. I see my neighbors weeping."
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
How better to follow Elegy than the music of Danny Boy? And it starts out with a solo soprano voice and is joined in unison by the others in soprano and alto, singing just simply as if by a graveside.
Tis you must go and I must fall.
and then breaking into harmony. And then later on into the full harmony of a choir. And all my grave will warmer, sweeter be. With our own Irish tenor, Declan Wiles. And for me, and so many, Danny Boy is associated with, of course, emotional loss and the loss of a loved one, and is often sung at funerals or sung, you know, at a wake in remembrance of a loved one passed. Another interesting piece of music, of course, is the traditional song learned by children throughout our school time. It's called Bo na Laharka, which means cow with one horn. It's a very playful song. And, you know, the one-horned cow is a metaphor for a poitín still. Think about Irish home-brewed alcohol, moonshine, as it were, and the lyrics become more peculiar as the song unfolds, perhaps reflecting, I suppose, the levels of intoxication of the singer. But it's really a little silly song about a cow, a one-horned cow. She's the old one-horned cow, the white-backed red cow, and who knows where I would find her. It's just a funny song, and I think it's got a little lilt in it, and again, Ciarán sings that very well.
You put together a pretty delightful video of the first track on this recording, Dulamam. This is a working song, as you indicated. Tell me more about this piece and that delightful tenor who has the solo.
Yeah, the tenor, he's a great guy. He's from County Cork, the rugged lands of West Cork in the southwest of the island. He's a medical student, would you believe? And he is a competition-winning traditional Irish lilter, as well as a singer of traditional songs. It's great to have students like this interested in joining Choral Scholars, because we can weave the Irish tradition with the choral tradition and build upon, I suppose, the emerging Irish tradition over the last 50 years in choral music. The song Dulamon is very well known from its inception by Clannad, who are from County Donegal. In the 1970s, they're a legendary Irish group, and the word itself, Dulamon, means seaweed, and the song references a couple of types of seaweed, one that's edible and then one for dyeing cloth. And these two types of seaweed also represent two characters in the song. Dulamon na buina bi, Dulamon na sleva, seaweed of the yellow cliff, seaweed of the hill. And it goes on in English, seaweed of the ocean, seaweed of the tooth. O gentle daughter, here come the courting men. O gentle mother, put the wheels in motion for me. Ciarán O'Donovan is the name of the singer, and I hope your listeners enjoy this piece.
I want to ask you about the song A Star. We talked a little bit about how the instrumentation can really make a piece sparkle, and that's certainly the case for the piano, which becomes the glittering stars in this piece.
It's interesting that we haven't used the piano in very many tracks on either our first or our second disc, but Australian-Irish composer Natasha Paulberg, very talented for her work on television and video games, wanted to bring in the sonority of the piano, the vibraphone, and then the stringed instruments into creating the reflection of the night sky by setting Patrick Kavanagh's poem A Star. And, you know, she is very good at illustrating the enormity of the starscape. And I think it glitters because she has that twinkling piano sound, while our melodic parts in the choir reflect the text of Patrick Kavanagh. Beauty was that far vanished flame, call it a star wanting better name, and gaze vaguely until nothing is left save a grey ghost hill. Here wait I on the world's rim, stretching out hands to seraphim. The world's rim is just my favourite phrase from this poem because it evokes something on the other side of light, or on the other side of darkness, or on the other side of the veil of creativity and inspiration. And this is something that we all see at times in our lives, something of a spiritual experience on the threshold of that, or on the threshold of love. And it brings us to expanding our own universe. And I just love the way he uses that phrase, on the world's rim. And stretching out hands to seraphim.
The Choral Scholars of University College Dublin with their artistic director, Desmond Early. That's new classical tracks from American Public Media, with special thanks to Valerie Kaler for producing this episode. I'm Julia Mocker.